The last 3 weeks, I wasn't planning on missing three Sundays, but I had to go to Europe. My daughter that is, I have my wife doesn't live here currently, still waiting on some paperwork for immigration and whatnot. And my newborn, which is now, she just turned 7 months. I love her so much. She's amazing. My wife's from Spanish. She has a Spanish nationality, even though she's Brazilian. But I wanted to get her a Spanish passport, especially with what's going on in the world today and, you know, certain issues when it comes to immigration and whatnot. So thank the Lord she got her Spanish passport. And, you know, that process took some time. I needed to be there as her dad had to handle that. And thank the Lord we handled it. And it's good to be back. And praise the name of Jesus. God has a plan, and we know that plan. Depending on who you are, not everyone's path is the same. But I do know that we all have promises, and we know that God definitely, what his desire is for his children to diligently seek him, to keep focused on him, regardless of what's happening, because God is in control, even though it may seem like your life is not in control. Remember, our physical eyes isn't what determines where we're headed. I don't care what your bank account says. I don't care what your doctor says. I don't care the situations you're facing. I don't care what's going on in your family. I care about what God says and the promises that he has for you and for myself. God says that you're able. God says you're from above. God says that you will be healed. God says, come on, someone. There's a lot of different things many of us are believing for. And praise the name of Jesus, man. I'm just excited for the journey. Even though you don't see, there's certain things that you may not be able to see right now, but God sees it. And if you're on the driver's, if you are in the same boat and God is your captain, it doesn't matter how far you see. You know God is your captain, and he's the one that's going to get you there. Praise the name of Jesus. Today's, I want to talk about, it was actually pretty, it was different the way this sermon came about, because I ran into a friend of mine. This was maybe a couple months back, and then God, as I was studying, God told me to preach about this. This was 3 days ago when God told me, and I was just really studying getting into the intimacy with God. And I do that. I like to separate myself. And as I'm studying, the Holy Spirit begins to reveal himself. And there's times where I study and God tells me, stop. It's because I got to make sure. Listen, this is a very delicate thing. I'm up here speaking to you. I want to make sure you get what God wants you to hear, not what I want to tell you. You may get my personality, obviously, and the way that I am and my, you know, I have my characteristics and I have my personality. But when I separate myself, I try to make sure everything, I make sure I say, God, this has to be what you want for your people. So God was telling me, speak to them and call this title your new identity. And the reason why he told me this, your new identity. The first thing I thought about when I heard that title, when someone has a new identity, what's the first thing that they change? Is their name, right? That's the first thing that changes. I saw a friend of mine about 3 months ago. This is why I'm now backing up, then I'm coming back, and then I'm going to get to my point. I saw a friend of mine about 3 months ago, and I had known this guy since like middle school. I'm not going to mention his name. It's not important. But when I said hi to him, I called him by his name from middle school. I didn't even know the guy changed his name. It's not every day you meet someone or you see someone that you hadn't seen in years. He's like, hey, my name was once Kevin and now it's Ricardo. Okay, hey. You never really, that's not something that normally happens, right? But he changed his name. And for good reason for him, good for him. Because the guy, you know, he had a let's just say an upsetting past, made some mistakes, and a lot of people, well, more than you know, because the majority of people that probably changed their name probably moved states and probably never told you they had another name before. But besides the point, psychologically, there's something that happens when you change your name. And then I started digging deeper. And then the Lord told me that. And then I researched this. Look what it says here. The first person that someone does, someone, an individual, that what happens when you change your identity, you change your name. I read an article on the benefits of legally changing your name. Relax, guys. I'm not here to try to convince you to change your name. I'm getting somewhere. Amen. Legally changing your name offers quite a few potential benefits. First of all, it can give you a fresh start. Whether you want to put a difficult past behind you, escape the attention of a stalker, or start fresh during a new phase in your life. A legal name change can be very empowering. This was a psychological article, an article that I read from a psychologist. This came out in September 19, 2018. This is a psychological effect that it has on humans. You see, when God changes a person's name in the Bible, it was to establish a new identity. I'm jumping now. We're going to the Old Testament now. And God told me to speak about Jacob. How many of you know the story of Jacob? I'm sure some of you do. If you've been here in church for a long time, you've heard of the story of Jacob. And Jacob is the grandson of Abraham. Okay? Remember, Father Abraham, God promised him he's going to be the father of many nations. Abraham had two sons. He had Ishmael, and then he had Isaac. God promised Abraham that he was going to have his descendants would come from Sarah. The blessed descendants were coming from Sarah, which was his wife at the time. The story of them, you know, Abraham was a little worried that he wasn't going to have a son because he was 100-something. He was already super old. And Sarah was also very old and she couldn't conceive. But obviously, I'm not going to be speaking about that. I'm going to get to Jacob. I just want you to have a background, a quick little mini Bible lesson, Bible study, so you can understand where we are. So Abraham, Sarah, they had their son, Isaac. Isaac is now Abraham's son. Then Isaac grows up. Isaac marries Rebecca. Rebecca has two sons. They're twins. The first one, say it, Esau. And the second one was Jacob. The first one, the firstborn, even though they were born the same day because they were twins, the one that saw light first, or had it, you know, cried first outside of the womb, was Esau. Esau was the older brother. Jacob was the younger brother. So basically, now you know that this is the lineage where God had promised Abraham. These are Abraham's grandkids. Now, I'm going to skip a bit. Rebekah's favorite son was Jacob, the younger one. Isaac's The father, favorite son, was Esau. Jacob was a bit of a deceiver. Kind of like a little bit of a cheater, a shyster. I don't know how you would say it, but you guys understand what I'm getting at. Jacob cheated his brother Esau twice. First, Esau was not being a very, I wouldn't consider him very smart for how he got cheated on the first time. You ever heard of the saying, fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me, right? Well, he got played, he got cheated by his brother. So Jacob cheated Esau. The first time was with his birthright, his inheritance. Jacob saw that his brother Esau was very, very hungry, and he said he was starving, and he traded his birthright, his inheritance, for food. because he was hungry at that specific moment. He didn't even realize it, but he got cheated. This is pretty cool back here. I didn't even see that. Amen. Thank you guys back there. Let's give it up for them. Amen. Are you guys with me? Say amen. We're getting somewhere. The second time Jacob cheated his brother was when his father, Isaac, was about to pass away. He was literally already blind and he was very, very old. And now it's time. This is old school Bible. This is the Old Testament tradition. It's much different than this new covenant that we live today. So I'm going to teach you a little bit on what the significance of a blessing from a father, what it meant to give to a son before he passes away. Listen to what it says here. The Old Testament blessing of a father included promising words of inheritance and prophesying over the future of him and his future generations. This was a very big deal in the old times. Esau was rightfully the firstborn. Esau was the firstborn and wanted his father Isaac to give him the blessing. But Jacob didn't want that to happen, and neither did Rebekah, his mom. His mom wanted the little younger boy to get the blessing. His father, think about it, was blind, did not really know what's going on, couldn't see, couldn't hear very well. He told his older brother Esau, go, hunt me the calf, hunt me a game, wild game they used to hunt back then, and feed and give me a feast. And there, and after you feed me, I will bless you and give you my blessing. So while Esau was hunting, Jacob took advantage with his mom, and they cheated him, and they brought something back. And then the Bible says that Jacob told his mom, Rebecca, Mom, Dad's going to find out, because my brother is much hairier than I am. So the Bible says they put hair, that his mom and Jacob put some hair on him from a goat. Went to his father Isaac and literally cheated his brother and said, my name is Esau, I'm your firstborn son. So long story short, his brother comes back, wants to kill his brother for cheating him twice. He took the blessing from his older brother. Then out of fear, Jacob runs away, goes to his uncle's house. Where am I getting at? Jacob now is in a position where he's living in his uncle's house, had to leave from the will of God. He completely left his family out of fear that his brother was going to kill him. He was deceitful. He cheated his brother. And then he left, shamed, ashamed. Now he's in a place far away, 400 miles to be exact, is what the Bible says. After 20 years of being away, the Lord told Jacob that he wanted him to go back home. Before God can continue to bless you, you need to position yourself in an area where God can bless you. You see, the way to obtain the blessing isn't to try to go through loopholes. Jacob eventually got blessed 20 years later when he made the decision to obey God. You can't cut corners when it comes to receiving your blessing. If God tells you to do things a certain way, you need to do it the way God tells you to do it. Not the way you think. Not the way I think, but the way he thinks. Jacob cheated his brother, left his family's territory, and was 20 years away from his home. 20 years later, God tells him, go back. And right there, Jacob made a decision. And he decided to go back. That's the first step he made. I don't know who I'm speaking to today, whether I'm watching you live on the internet or you're here this morning, but I know that the first step we need to make is to make the first step. And that is to go. If God puts it in you, a month ago we spoke about vision. If God has instilled that vision in you, if God has instilled that promise in you, go, obey. Kind of reminds me of Abraham, his grandfather. His grandfather, before he was the father of many nations, God told him to go and to leave his family and just to go. Imagine if God told you to just go to Africa and I'll be with you. How many of you would do that? Well, amen. I see one. I'd really think about that. If God told me to just go somewhere, I would really have to pray and say, you know what? Amen. But I would try to, I mean, you know, the flesh doesn't just want to go. But you knowing that God is with you, if God tells you go, you got to go. Because you know that that's where the promise is. You know that that's where you're destined to be. That is the road that God has predestined for your life. The road to your destiny. Maybe God tells you to go and apply for the job. Go and pray for that person. I don't know. Go and pray over your family. Go to church. Go preach the word of God. Go establish the kingdom of God. Go open that new business. Go pray over your sickness. Heal yourself. Pray for others. Go establish God's kingdom here on earth. Go. If God tells you to go, you need to be obedient. God told this to Jacob, and guess what? Even after everything he did, all the deceitfulness that he did to his brothers, the shame that he brought to his brother, he left 20 years later, 20 years go by, God tells him to go. I don't know what you've done in your life. I don't know what situations you are probably going through, but I know that God has a word for you today. If you want a new identity, the first thing you need to do is go. Say amen. First step, he went. And this is where, once he was obedient, this is where Jacob received his blessing. First he went, and then is when then the blessing showed up. But check this out. When you go, God's gonna bring you blessings. God's gonna show you things, but there's gonna be a struggle. There's gonna be a storm on the road to your destiny. You can't just tell God, God, I'm not going to go. I'm going to look, before I go, I'm going to make sure it stops raining because I don't want to get wet. Are you guys with me? God, I'm not going to go until my bank account has this amount of money. God, I'm not going to go until I meet my wife. God, I'm not going to go until I meet my husband. God, I'm not going to go until I finish this. I nothing. You want to be blessed? You got to take the road. You got to go through it. I don't care if it's raining. I don't care if it's there's an earthquake. If you go, that is where you will find the blessings. And that's where you'll find your identity. It's not about a legal name change. But we're speaking on the topic. So let's find out what happens on Jacob's journey back home. Amen. So on the way back to his homeland, the Bible says Jacob had an encounter. There was a man. And the Bible says that Jacob wrestled with this man. I've heard the story many, many times back then, but it wasn't until this morning and last night when I really got into it where God explained to me this whole point of wrestling with God. How many of you ever heard of this phrase before? Wrestling with God. God, what do you mean? I'm not in the WWF. How am I going to wrestle with you? Which WWF is like, you know, like the whole wrestling. You guys ever heard of this before? Anyways, You don't physically wrestle with God. God, this is a spiritual thing. But in this case, the Bible's very clear that he was wrestling with a man on the way to his home. And then after wrestling with him, the Bible says that he was wrestling with this guy, this man, which is actually a representation, which is actually God. The Bible says it's God. Because this man, well, he was wrestling with him. It's not extremely clear, but we know that it's God because he was wrestling with him till daybreak. The Bible says that Jacob realized that this was God. Listen, and that he was wrestling with him until daybreak, until the whole night, until the sun rose. And the Bible says that he did not let him go until he received his blessing. And he knew it was God. He said, God, I'm not going to let you go until you give me my blessing. Are you listening to what I'm saying? This is another way of looking at this with Jacob. And it got revealed to me. And then I'm like, God, wow. He was not gonna let go. Jacob held on to the man until he obtained the blessing. At this point, God had changed his name and he was blessed. No longer would Jacob be a supplanter or a trickster. Because Jacob, the name Jacob means supplanter. Now, look what it says here in Genesis 32, 28. Glory be to God. He said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. Come on, somebody. Listen, it's in the journey when God will show up with your blessing. If you don't go, you won't have a journey. You don't have a journey, you're not going to get blessed. You may go to heaven when you leave this earth, but if you don't go through that journey, you won't find your identity. Because you'll never have the opportunity to wrestle. Because you will never encounter God if you continue to do what you do. If you go through that path, God's gonna show up. And when God shows up, you need a struggle, you need a wrestle. What does that mean, Albert? What do you mean, wrestle? The way that we wrestle with God, and the Holy Spirit was extremely clear on it. He said the way we wrestle and struggle is with our faith. Your faith. Your faith is what grabs a hold of that promise. Your faith is what embraces the promise that God has for you. Your faith is what allows you to get your new identity, what allows you to receive the blessings from the Most High God. Your faith is the wrestle. Your faith is the struggle. When God shows up, he gives you a promise. You take that journey. He'll show up. He won't abandon you. You grab a hold of that promise. Glory. And you continue fighting until you get blessed. You don't let go. The enemy will try, though, to tell you what you're doing. What are you doing grabbing onto this so much? Why are you believing so hard? Why? Nothing's happening. You're the same. This guy. Biggest deceiver out. Biggest liar, thief, destroyer, manipulator. Killer. Look at your family. It's still the same as it was last week. What are you holding on to? Hey, it gets rough. It's not always easy. Look at your job. Look at your life. Where do you think you're going to go? He's going to try every single trick in the book. I promise you that. He's going to try. He's not going to stop. But guess what we're going to do? Grab a hold. Wrestle. Fight. That's up to you. Not up to God. That's up to you. Not up to God. Look what it says in Genesis 35, 10 through 12. God said to him, your name is Jacob, but you will no longer be called Jacob. Your name will be Israel. So he named him Israel. And God said to him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and increased in numbers. A nation and a community of nations will come from you. Glory. And kings will be among your descendants. I'm speaking to someone this morning. Receive it. The land I gave to Abraham and Isaac, I also will give to you. And I give this land to your descendants after you. Listen, this is what God wants for his children. Jacob, the meaning was one who follows another's heels. A supplanter. Israel is the Hebrew name for Yisrael. Yisrael meaning God contends or one who struggles with God. Glory be to Jesus. Come on now. Amen. Remember, the Old Testament is a representation, is a shadow of the new covenant now that we have. The Messiah already came. Amen. I want you to look at this because this is the same representation of Christ, what he's done for the church. Where am I getting at? As you see that God obviously changed his name, in this particular case, he actually changed his name. Now, God's not going to expect me to change my name physically, legally. But now, in Christ, you are a new creation. The old is gone. Look what it says here. Look what it says here. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. When God would talk to Jacob, there was times even after, if you keep reading and studying it, because it's a lot. It's a lot to study there, and the descendants are long. It's a long list. I can't get into all that now. I only have about 5 minutes. But if you see, there was times that God would call Israel, Jacob, just to remind him of his old ways. And to remember, so he can remember who he is now. You see, the same works with Jesus. Once you receive Jesus, you are a new creation. God's gonna call the majority of his people that are saved, that are here in this room, watching me live on the internet. The large majority of you are children of God. Now, the way we obtain the new covenant is through what Jesus did for us. Amen? There will be times in your life that you will see yourself, and God will allow it to happen. There will be times that we make mistakes, and then later God will remind you of who you are now. You have this new identity. Why are you going to your old ways? You see, this is why the Bible says we need to constantly renew our minds. We always talk about this, and I'll keep preaching about it. The first place the enemy attacks is the mind. He knows if he controls your thoughts, he's going to control what you say. He's going to control your actions. You can be a child of God, but you can live miserably here on earth if you allow the enemy to control your thoughts. If you allow negative situations to get the better of you instead of you getting the better of your negative situations. I'm going to say that again. I'll say it again. Don't allow the negative situations to get a hold of you. You need to get a hold of your negative situations. How? By the word of God, establishing things that are not as though they are. Knowing who you are in Christ. Knowing that you are kings and queens. You are of royal blood. You come from above. Jesus told Nicodemus, Nicodemus. Oh, Nicodemus. Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3:3, "Verily, truly, I tell you, no one could see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." You see, this is the new covenant, being born again. That's what you did the day that you accepted Jesus Christ. Now, when you are born again, he doesn't, like Nicodemus said, what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to go back in the womb of my mom and be born again? He was thinking physically, not spiritually. Jesus is obviously in another stratosphere. But now as you understand and what it means, now you understand that being born again is not being born again here on this earth. It's being born from above. You are born from above. Now you are adopted by the Spirit of the living God. Now you are a child of God, not a child of this world. We are in this world, but we are not. Come on, church. We are in this world, but we're not from it. We don't operate like the way the world operates. We operate kingdom and kingdom, which is the kingdom of God. We operate in a completely different government than the one that's here. We establish God's kingdom here on earth. I'm a child of God now. I am a king on this earth. I am a king. Listen, I don't know if you've ever heard of this. This is something insane that I heard the other day, but it really hit me. How many times we're in church, you see there's this Bible verse. I can't get it off the top of my head, but you know that God is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. How many of you ever heard that, right? If he's the King of Kings and he's the Lord of Lords, and it's crazy. I've been coming to church for many, many years, guys. Trust me. And I didn't get this revelation, and I'm going to share it with you now. Why not? Preach it. It's good. Get fed. Why would the Bible, why would God say he's the King of Kings? He's the King of Kings. Why? Because we are kings. We are lords. Oh, wait a minute. What? Who else is a king? Why would he need to say he's the King of a King? Because we have God in us already. Through Jesus Christ, we are kings here. We are little kings. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We can operate like kings because we are kings through the one that set us free. Not by me, not by you, not by your works. I don't care how many people you feed. Amen. Keep feeding them. But that's not what's going to get you to be of royal blood. That's why we keep saying that you're royalty, because you're a king, you're a queen. That's why God said he's the King of Kings. Is somebody receiving something this morning? You have a new identity in Christ. You're not the same person you were before. Your new identity. Glory. You're not Jacob anymore. God is with us. No weapon formed against us will ever prosper. Nothing can stop the will of God over your life if you believe it. If you grab a hold, you struggle, you wrestle with God until you get your blessing. How do you grab a hold of it? With your faith. Don't ever let it go. If it comes from God and you believe it, you will receive it. Stand to your feet, church. Your new identity is found in Christ. And your identity, listen, You're going to continue to grow more and more and more and more. The more you walk, the more you continue to have that intimacy with God, that one-on-one time with God, coming to church, listening to the word of the Lord. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Listen, your faith is a muscle. And the way that you strengthen that muscle is by using it. What do you do when you go to the gym? If you go to the gym, you want to gain muscle? You work out. You do some exercise. You want to lose weight? You got to lose weight. You got to change your diet. You got to change your habits. God has a numerous amount of things. Listen, there are thousands and thousands of blessings. If you see something that's wrong with your life right now, something just not quite where it should be. I always say this and I'll continue to say it. If there's something bad in your life right now, it's not from God. Because my Bible says that God is good. So if there's something that's bad, it's not good, then it's not God. Bottom line, you know your life and God knows your life. Today, right where you are, lower your heads. I got to close this soon. I got 2 minutes. I want you to adjust, look at yourself and look at your life as a whole right now. Most of you in here, or why are you that are watching me live from the internet? Most of you are believers. Most of you have already surrendered your life to Jesus. But how are you walking here on this earth? How is your life as a whole? Some people have more problems than others. Some look like they completely threw the towel. I'm here to tell you today is not the day to do that. And if you did throw the towel, we serve a God that restores. It's time to stop thinking. Stop thinking of yourself the way you think. Start thinking of yourself the way God sees you. Stop seeing yourself the way you view yourself. Listen, view yourself the way God views you. That's what you need to do. Once you start seeing yourself how God sees you, then you're going to see your identity. You're going to become unstoppable. On this earth, we were born to rule. You are a king. You are a queen. The only thing you bow down to is God, nothing else. No problem, no struggle, no worries, no pain, no depression, no suicide, no death. Glory. Believe it. Go and fight. It's a battle, but with God, all things are possible. I want to give an opportunity. I got to get going. I want to give an opportunity to anyone in here. You guys know who you are. Brothers and sisters in Christ, if you already made this decision, this isn't for you. But the first step you need to do in order to obtain Jesus Christ is surrender your life to Him. You will never be able to operate as a king or a queen if you aren't a son or a daughter. That comes first. And Jesus has died for every single human. He came to save all of humanity. Unfortunately, not all of humanity gets saved. A lot of people reject them. A lot of people, you know, have their issues or other religions. It is what it is. But I'll tell you what Jesus says. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man could come to the Father except by me. That's what my Bible says, and my Bible also says the only way to get to heaven is to surrender your life. Surrender your life. I'm not talking about believing in Jesus. Listen, Muhammad in the Quran believed in Jesus. Many people, Lucifer believes in Jesus. I promise you, he's not in heaven. You need to surrender your life to Jesus Christ. And then you shall be saved. And then you can begin to operate like a king or like a queen here on this earth. I want to give you an opportunity. If you've never publicly confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, tomorrow's not promised to everyone. I urge you, and I'm going to do my part, and the Holy Spirit's going to do his after this. You can lead a horse to the water, but you can't force them to drink. This is your opportunity. If you've never publicly confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to raise your hand right where you are. Amen. I see one. I see two. Glory be to Jesus. Anyone else? I see three. Glory. What do you have to do now? It's simple. You got to repeat a prayer with me out loud. You must confess with your mouth what you believe in your heart, that Jesus Christ died and rose again, and you will be saved. Glory. I'm going to ask you one more thing. Those of you that raise your hand, take another step and come to the front of this altar. And I want to pray for you. Come on. You know who you are. Amen. 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 Anyone else that says they want to give their life to Christ this morning, come on up.